Last week, we answered the question of who did Jesus come for, and does anybody remember? The sinners, the lost. What was our main verse? Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. So Jesus came for the lost, and we saw it very clearly. He came for the unlikely, he came for the undeserving, and he came for the lost. And that set us up for a question today, and it leads us to the question, if he was willing to seek and to save the lost, the question is what was he willing to do to reach them? What was he willing to do? Because Palm Sunday today, we passed out palm branches, and if you want to wave it during worship, I should have said that prior. Again, that's my fault for not announcing it, but we'll also be reading the scripture here shortly. Turn yourselves to Luke chapter 19 if you want to now, because we will be there very shortly. Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. This is considered the triumphal entry, and so today isn't just Palm Sunday. It isn't just about a celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It is the moment where he rides into Jerusalem. But everyone around him thought that he was coming to be king, to replace the Roman government. And instead, Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing exactly what was waiting for him. And if you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 19. If you don't have it, it'll be on the overhead behind me. And it says this, Luke chapter 19, verses 28 through 44. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever ridden, has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of it. And when they brought it to Jesus and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. He answered them, I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you up in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation. On the surface, this certainly looks like a celebration, doesn't it? They're laying down their cloaks, they're waving palm branches, they're shouting. The crowd is loud, they're praising, they're calling him king, and to the Jewish people, this felt like a victory. But as we keep reading, we see that Luke shows us something that the other Gospels don't emphasize in the same way. As Jesus draws near to the city, what does he do? We just read it. Who said it? He weeps. He wept. He wept over the city. He begins to weep. And so while the crowd is celebrating, Jesus is grieving. They're seeing one thing, and Jesus is seeing something completely different. And that leads us to our first point this morning. The king came intentionally. When you look at this moment, Jesus is not being carried along by the crowd. They are not forcing him forward. He is not reacting to it. He's not reacting to what's happening around him. He is moving forward with clarity and purpose. He sends the disciples on ahead and he says, go find this colt. And when you find them, he tells them first off where to find it, and then he tells them what to say, and everything unfolds exactly as he said it would. And this, if you didn't know, is the fulfillment of the Old Testament book, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, where the king would come riding on a donkey. Jesus is not simply entering a city today. He's stepping into the final moments that will lead him to the cross. He knows the rejection he's about to face. He knows the betrayal that he's about to face. He knows that the cross is what lies ahead of him. And yet, our Savior continues forward. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. He's talking about his life. No one takes his life from him, but he lays it down on his own accord. So what we are about to witness, what we know took place, was not forced on him. Instead, it is chosen. He chooses to keep going forward toward it. So when we read about Palm Sunday, we're not just seeing a king being welcomed into Jerusalem. What we are seeing, and we should clearly see, is that a Savior who is willingly walking toward the cross, the very place that each one of us belong. Our impact statement is Jesus intentionally stepped toward the cross. And today, this is where it can become personal for us in this moment. See, Jesus was not moving toward the cross in a general direction or in a distant sense. He was moving toward it with full knowledge. Full knowledge of what was about to happen, what it would accomplish, and who it was for. He knew that he was about to carry the weight of sin, the cost of grace that it would require to do this, and he knew all of that, and he still chose to move forward. And so that raises a question. If Jesus knew exactly what it was going to cost, what would move him to continue forward like this? Because if I know I'm going to my death, I'm trying to avoid it at all cost. So if Jesus knew exactly what it would cost, what would move him to continue forward like this? Because as we see the story continue, we see his heart. We get to see his heart more clearly. While the crowd is celebrating, Jesus is looking at the very same moment in a very different way, which leads us to our second point. The king came compassionately. As Jesus draws near to Jerusalem, the atmosphere has not changed. It's still celebration. The crowd is still celebrating. They're still declaring him as king. But as Jesus looks at the city of Jerusalem, he starts to weep. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, part of our scripture reading, tells us that as he approached Jerusalem, he wept over it. In the middle of celebration, there is grief. He sees something that the crowd doesn't see. He takes note. They are close to him physically. Last year, for those of you who were here last year, I thought this was pretty impactful. Maybe I'm the only one. But last year, I think we took these palm branches. Who remembers this? And we all started shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. Does anybody remember? What did we do 2 seconds later? We threw him down and we started yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. So the same crowd that is worshiping and celebrating the Savior coming in, the Messiah, the promised Messiah, coming into Jerusalem, is the same one that they started yelling, crucify him, crucify him. So they're close to him physically, but they don't recognize the kind of peace that he came to bring. They thought the kind of peace he was bringing was the peace of him overthrowing Rome, when in reality it came to sacrifice himself for our sins. So they respond. Their response is what we're seeing is they're responding to what they think he can give. They're close to him physically, but they miss why he came. See, Jesus sees where this misunderstanding leads. To be close to Jesus but not surrender to Jesus, it leads us to eternal separation from the Father. And it breaks the heart of Jesus. It breaks the heart of Jesus. Because when the people reject him, there is no heaven. So when we reject Jesus, it breaks his heart. The king wept for the people who rejected him. And this is where the passage comes a little bit closer to us today. And I need everybody to hear this with every ounce of love that I have. It is possible for you to be around Jesus. It is possible for you to hear the truth of Jesus. It is possible to know the good news and still never fully surrender your life to him. It's possible to say, all of this sounds good and I'll practice it because it makes me feel a little bit good, but not be surrendered to him. It is possible to want what Jesus has for you. It is possible to desire more of Jesus, but it's also possible to still hold on to parts of your life that you don't want him to be part of. See, it's called surrender. Surrender doesn't mean we maintain control. What does surrender mean? Let go. So, he does not respond with distance. He knows what he's walking into. He knows what's about to take place. He doesn't keep his distance from Jerusalem. He's not indifferent, but instead he responds with compassion. He moves forward with the plan. See, he sees clearly the plan of God. He understands completely what this is going to do. And listen, his heart, even though you might not be surrendered today in the fullest, his heart is still turned toward you. He still desires you. He died on the cross for you. Is that not good news? I could hear a cricket louder than I can hear any of you breathing this morning. Jesus went to the cross willingly to die for our sins, that we would be reconciled to the Father, our debt erased, eradicated, fully paid by him. If that is not good news, I don't know what good news is. This is very good news that I talked about at the beginning of service. Who did you invite to church today? So now the question is, who are you inviting to church next Sunday? Because we are surrounded by people who do not know the good news. Maybe they have heard it. We just said that you can be around Jesus and not be surrendered to him. What we leave here with hope is knowing that his heart is still turned towards us and towards them. So can I submit to you this morning that you need to invite everybody that you know to church next Sunday? I think this would be pretty cool. And we'll see how many people can see this vision with me. We have 32 chairs down in the basement that we can add to the back rows at any given time. Last, would have been November, end of November, we were at our largest Sunday. I'm completely off notes, but I'm giving you some data points here. We were our largest Sunday in attendance. There was 96 people here, and that Sunday, we had 13 of our regulars gone. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that we could break 100 next Sunday. Now, I have had Easters where there's been like 20 of us here because everybody's traveling to see family. But could we be so bold to not care what people think because their soul is worth more than their negative opinion about me sharing the gospel? It's crickets in here, guys. I know this is heavy, but Jesus knows the condition of your heart. He knows the condition of their heart. And he knows what it will take to bring the change. And that's why he continue forward. That's why he gives us hope. That's why he gives us words to say when we approach people and we talk to them. So our Savior doesn't stop there. He continues to move toward the cross. And our third and final point today is the King came sacrificially. He sees their condition. He knows the weight of their sin. He knows what it is that they are carrying, the burden that they have, and what separates them, what stands between them and God. And it has to be paid for. It has to be paid for. So he moves towards Jerusalem. He's not just entering a city. Instead, he is stepping toward his sacrifice. He's stepping toward the cross. And this is where Palm Sunday is headed. It's not towards a throne, but it's toward a cross. And the cross is necessary because the cross brings forgiveness and restoration through his death. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, we are told that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Romans 5:8, we said this last week. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. While we were still imperfect, while we were still not surrendered to him, he came and he died for our sins. This right here, this is the cost of what we saw last week. He came for the loss. And I asked the question, what was he willing to do to see that take place? This is what he did. He came for the loss and he went directly toward the cross because this is what it took to save them. This is what it took to save us. Through his death and resurrection, he didn't just make forgiveness possible, he made new life through the Holy Spirit possible. The king came to die so the lost could live. The king came to die so the lost could live. And now we're going to bring it directly to us. Jesus carried the full weight of our sin. He bore the weight of what separates us from God so that it would no longer stand between us and him. Which means the cross is not just something we believe in, it is something that we are meant to respond to. Because if he was willing to go that far, to give that much, and to carry that much weight, then the question is not, what did he do? The question is, how are you going to respond to it? How are you going to respond to the good news, the gospel this morning? Palm Sunday shows us the heart of Jesus. He moved toward the cross. He looked at people with compassion and he gave his life. That is who he is. And that brings each of us to a question that I don't think we can avoid. I think if we avoid it, we're already, in a sense, rejecting Jesus because we don't want to surrender. So here's the question that I think each of us has to answer this morning. How am I responding to Jesus? How am I responding to Jesus? Because it's possible to recognize parts of who he is, to appreciate what he can do, and we can still be never fully surrendered to him. We can find ourselves in that same place as the crowd on the day that he entered Jerusalem. Hosanna! Hosanna! Crucify him! Crucify him! Luke 19:10 tells us that Jesus, the Son of Man, came to seek and to save the lost. That means he came intentionally. He came compassionately. Stacy, if you want to come on up. He came sacrificially, and he is still calling you today. He is still calling the lost today. We all have a sphere of influence, people in our lives that I'm never going to know, but you do. Have you shared the good news with them? Do they know what you believe? Do they know what Jesus has done in your life? He is still calling people today. And I believe each of us know somebody who would respond to that call if we would just extend that invitation. After all, as a church, isn't that what we're about? Engaging our community for Jesus? If we're going to engage our community, doesn't the engagement also require an invitation? Because people around us are searching. They're searching for something. And they still need his grace. And the same Jesus who rode into Jerusalem today is still reaching for those people today. And that includes you, and that includes the people that you know who don't have a relationship with him. So it is our duty as followers of Jesus Christ to not come to church and punch the ticket that says, I was in church today. The church, how many know this from BBS? It is not a building. The church is the people. You might be the only church that someone around you experiences. You might be the only one that reveals who Jesus is and what he has done in your life. When we get to heaven, I'd like to believe that there's going to be a greatest hits of our life. And I know, because I've refused to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, there are going to be people that I refuse to talk to because I didn't feel like it. There might be people there that are there in spite of me, not because of me. But if this is the greatest news, why are we so quiet? He came to seek and to save the lost. Would you stand with me this morning? On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into Jerusalem knowing he wasn't there for why they thought he was. He rode in knowing that this was the last time that he would go into Jerusalem. He went in. They thought he was a king. They were blinded. They didn't fully recognize who he was. They were close, but they still missed him. And I'm here to tell you that that's still possible today. That you can see him, that you can be close, and you can still miss. You can still miss him. I need you to understand Jesus is here. He's coming near. He's near to you in your situation. He is still calling to you. He is still calling the lost. He didn't come just to be celebrated. He came to save. And if you know this morning that you've been around him, you've been in proximity to Jesus, but you've not fully surrendered to him, this morning, this right now, this is your moment. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I implore you this morning, do not miss him. Do not miss him. Romans 10:9 tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is not about words. This is about faith. So if you're here this morning and you want to get out of proximity and you want to step into surrendered living with Christ, would you raise your hand right where you are? Is there anybody here who would respond today? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Church, I'd like for you to repeat this prayer after me. And again, this has nothing to do with the words. It has everything to do with faith. Because I can't save you, but Jesus can. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins, for making a way for me to be reconciled with the Father. Forgive me of all of my sins. Make me new. Create in me new life. This morning, I step out of proximity and I step in to fully surrendered living for you. I believe that you died and rose again so that myself and others that are lost would come to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, there was one person, the first time that I'm aware of, that rose their hand this morning. And I'll just admit to you, if you are here and you said that this morning and I didn't see you raise your hand, as long as you meant those words hold true. Faith in Jesus is what it is. It's not about saying the words. It's not about me necessarily knowing. But you do need to tell somebody. You do need to tell somebody that you gave your life to Christ this morning. And I would just submit to you, you should consider being baptized. If you have not been water submerged, baptized, you need to see me. As Jesus looked over the city, church, he wept because people were close but not surrendered. So my question to the rest of us this morning, are we seeing him? Are we looking on from a distance? Or are we living surrendered lives to him? See, for some of us, there might be areas that we're holding back. There's things that we're not ready to surrender. For others, you've stayed close, but you've never fully given him every area of your life. And here's what I would just say today. Don't miss him today. Don't let your pride keep you from encountering Jesus. Don't let it happen. Don't miss him today. My call to you is this: step out, come to the altar, and respond to him fully as we worship. What does that look like? Maybe that means you just come up and sing. Maybe that means you get on your face in front of the Lord and you say, Lord, I need more of you in my life. I don't care if you come down here and you lay down. I'm not going to judge you, and nobody else in this church is either. Whatever it takes for you to step into surrendered living to Christ is what I want. So the call is this: don't miss him today because your pride got in the way. Amen?